This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That man ain't stopped working since he got here. Yeah. I can't wait. Him and Dr. Wood and everything that they're doing out there for Sac State. Absolutely cannot wait.
Cannot, man. This is a level of energy for this program mm-hmm. that hasn't been seen in a while. I know we've been hyped up in recent years because there's been a lot of success, but it hasn't been like this. This is different. This is the anticipation.
Well, there's so much buzz around the university, too. There's mm-hmm. so much buzz about the future of Sac State football and Sac State sports that yeah. when you see what Coach Marion is doing, it just kind of, it's like, man, there's a lot of vibes right now
yeah.
around Sac State.
Absolutely. Cannot wait.
We're going to get back to the Kings coming up here in just a couple of minutes, but since we were talking football with Coach Marion, we'll kind of put a bow on the De'Aaron Fox conversation, and then we'll get to what we saw last night. Remember, Eddie Gonzalez is going to be with us at 2:15. You do not want to miss that. Mm. And then James Hamm. We got a press conference, by the way, coming up at 2. Monty McNair, Jake LaRavia, and Jonas Valanciunas will all be introduced. Obviously, Monty won't, but those two guys will be introduced as the newest members of the Sacramento Kings.
See Valanciunas yesterday. So,
we did. My new favorite thing is watching Valanciunas run. It is a sight to see. It's like Andre the Giant trying to run down the court.
That is a big human being.
I cannot wait to see him in person. Like, that is a gigantic, like, up board. Close in person. Yeah. That is a gigantic individual. Josh Allen won the MVP last night.
I was surprised to see that. Not surprised because he's not deserving, but I thought, you know, the whole all-pro thing.
First player.
Yeah.
First player in 21 years to win the MVP and not be all-pro one. Mm. Lamar Jackson got that nod. This happened two other times. John Elway won the MVP. Joe Montana was all pro. Steve McNair won the MVP. Peyton Manning was all pro.
The
doesn't happen very often, and the voting was as close as we expected it to be. I believe it was 27 first place votes to 23.
What's the who votes for the MVP? Is it just media?
Yeah, media.
It's called the football
Pro Football Writers Association.
That's it. Yep.
And somebody else does all pro, or they do all pro as well.
Oh, I think they do both.
It's like essentially the same, yeah.
I think they do both. Huh. I could be wrong. I think they do both.
I just found it interesting.
You think they split the vote?
Maybe so. Yeah.
I'll say this, though. The one thing that I appreciated is no one wasted their vote. No one else got another first place vote. So it's no one. Here's why.
Jake Delhomme should still be.
Yeah. Like there was my article. Like no one wasted their vote. Like yeah. all 50 votes went to those two guys. I'm not saying Saquon could have gotten a vote. I wouldn't have been offended by it. But sometimes you see a guy who got who finished 10th in MVP voting had a first place vote. It's like, mm-hmm. all right, I don't know who that one person is, but what are we doing?
Yeah.
Well, because they wrote an article to go along with it. All 50 votes went to Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. And I was surprised that Josh Allen won it after Lamar got first team All-Pro, but he's deserving. They're both Absolutely. Deserving. There's a great argument for Saquon being the MVP.
Yeah.
But I think the voting win is such, and it's one of those things where I won't make an argument against Josh Allen because I really like Lamar Jackson, but it's fine.
Yeah. I think about the NFL and the MVP and all these awards, and I'm not going to say it doesn't have the same cachet, but I don't remember these MVPs the way I do like an NBA MVP. I wonder why. Like, part of it might be because they have that MVP and then Offensive Player of the Year thing. That's like if the NBA had an MVP and an Offensive Player of the Year. Like, that just would convolute it. Or it's like a situation where they try to make it where only the quarterbacks end up winning MVP. That'd be like if only centers won the MVP. But I can remember a lot of the MVPs in the years they won them in the NBA. I can't do the same for the NFL. Peyton won 3
MVPs?
Yeah.
I think he won like
four. I think he's got five. He's got five. Yeah, five.
How many did Tom win? MVP.
3? He might have won. Did he win one with the Bucks?
No. I don't believe so. I think his last MVP was the year Wentz towards ACL.
So.
Oh, that's right. I remember that MVP. I don't remember if that was his last one. 5 times for Peyton.
Help me out here.
Mm-hmm.
So Peyton has won MVP. Tom Brady has won MVP.
Tom Brady's 3.
Patrick Mahomes is 1.
Rodgers has 2 or 1.
Okay, so I was about to ask you, who are the other MVPs?
Well, how far back are we going?
Just like Peyton and Tom.
Aaron Rodgers got it like 2007 or something.
Aaron Rodgers has four.
I don't know exactly, like 2004, maybe 5, whatever.
Patrick have 2?
Patrick Mahomes is up to 2.
AP won one, right?
AP was 2012. I think.
Matt Ryan won.
Matt Ryan, I remember that. Okay.
Cam Newton won.
Mm.
Adrian Peterson. How far back do you want to go?
That's good.
We're kind of naming them right now.
No. Here's something funny. If we go back to Peyton's first MVP was 2023. I guess did him and Steve McNair both win the MVP? Why is it's listed as
maybe since, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess they tied. I can't remember that. 23. Anyways, that's Peyton's first MVP. He wins it again in 2004. Then you've got, just see if we can keep track of this, Sean Alexander, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Oh, yeah, the LT.
And then you got, crazy, 2 running backs, 1 in a row. That is wild. What a different world that was. Brady wins his first one. Peyton wins his 3rd, his 4th. Brady wins his 2nd one. Rodgers wins his 1st one. Adrian Peterson wins in 2012. Peyton wins his 5th one. Aaron Rodgers wins his 2nd one. Cam, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady wins his 3rd. Patrick Mahomes wins his 1st. Lamar Jackson wins his 1st. Aaron Rodgers wins his 3rd. Aaron Rodgers wins his 4th. Patrick Mahomes wins his 2nd. Lamar Jackson wins his 2nd.
This explains why I can't remember too many other MVPs.
That's why.
Because it's the same 5 to 6 guys, it feels like, a lot of the time. Not that they're not deserving. Just saying, that's who it is a lot of the time.
In 22 years, I guess, there's only 5. I guess I'll count McNair. Sean Alexander, LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson, Cam, Matt. So count it, so 6. Since 2000, there's only 6 one-time MVP award winners.
Wow. So
I mean, the other guys you named, too, are like 3 of the 5 best quarterbacks of all time.
So here's the thing, and I'm not saying one is better than the other. It's just something I noticed. That's all we're talking. Would who's the NBA MVP that they talk about, like people talk about Cam Newton or Matt Ryan?
Steve Nash.
I was gonna say that'd be Steve Nash.
That's probably the only one though, right?
Steve Nash actually won 2 of them and still gets that treatment.
And what I mean by that is,
well,
like, they're kind of like.
What do you mean though? Because like
they like if you ask somebody about Cam Newton right now, they wouldn't hold him in the yo, this guy at one point in time was the best player in the game. Like maybe if you think
you
about
should.
It.
Like, I, Cam, I think you like should. Like Cam too. Like Cam, yeah. Cam had one of the craziest rookie seasons we've ever seen.
I think they should. I agree. Matt Ryan the same way.
Well, Matt Ryan, that might be true.
Is there an NBA MVP like that though? Like there those guys are like
I mean Derrick Rose is probably the Cam Newton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And people talk about Derrick Rose like, yo, if it wasn't
You don't think
injuries.
People talk like Cam like that? Maybe. Like Cam was maybe. Him. But maybe. He's just such a different type of quarterback than these other guys are.
Matt
on this
Ryan
list.
Isn't like that. Sean Alexander isn't like that.
No. No, I mean Adrian Peterson is at the top of his position group, like in history. He's
McNair
near the top.
Not even like that.
Yeah, McNair ain't like that either. But yeah, the two running backs in 05 and 06 are pretty mind-boggling.
And once again, not even saying they don't deserve it. Obviously, LT or both of those guys, they had great seasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you look at NBA MVPs, and they're just not. Spoken about, like you can go back to 2003 for the outside of even with Nass, like people will talk about Nass like he was a wizard, he maybe just shouldn't have won MVP, but he was amazing. They don't talk about anybody like they talk about Matt Ryan. Like Matt Ryan, it just looked at as like he was really good, whereas mm-hmm. Dirk was one of the greatest ever. Like nobody's saying that about Matt Ryan. Once again, it's not to disparage Matt Ryan or the NFL or anybody. It's just something I noticed, like with some of the MVPs. They don't, maybe I'm saying they don't get the respect they deserve as MVPs sometimes. Matt
Fair
Ryan,
enough.
Sean Alexander, those guys.
Okay, we got a couple minutes. I'm kind of curious, who is the LaDainian Tomlinson of
the NBA MVP.
The NBA.
I would say Sean Alexander. Sean Alexander and Matt Ryan is who it is. Because LT, you know, LT him. He him.
Yeah, Sean LT's not Steve
Sean
Nash.
Sean Alexander and Matt Ryan are not him. Sorry.
I don't think it exists.
Matt Ryan's Hall of Famer.
It does. I don't think it exists.
Is like, Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. He's just so nondescript. Like, it's really good for a long time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist in the NBA.
Like, we got...
Like, it's Jokic, Embiid, Giannis.
We got Titans.
I mean, Harden is... Like, Harden has a case for three of them. Like, Russell Westbrook made history the year he did it. Steph, KD, Bron's got four. There's the Derrick Rose one, but I would relate him to Cam Newton before anybody else. Still, the wildest thing in NBA history is that Kobe only has one. Dirk. I still wouldn't put Dirk in that category. Steve Nash with the two, which... Okay. Garnett, Duncan, like we're going back the same amount of time we did with the NFL. You got AI now in 2000, 2001. It doesn't appear to
Shaq
exist.
The year before that, right?
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
We're talking with the NF.
Then
NBA.
You're getting into like Magics and Birds, and
yeah,
it's just not there.
With the NBA MVP, we're talking about like they're all like top 50.
All but one.
Yeah, who's in?
Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
All but one.
They're all like top 50 players that ever played a game.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Alexander and Matt Ryan aren't. But they're MVPs. Like, I would never, like, off the top of my head, I wouldn't think of Sean Alexander like, man, let me respect this MVP. Like, I'd be forgetting. This guy's the MVP. He was the best player in the league.
I think you were going to ask it. Go ahead. I think you were.
Are you sure it's not Westbrook?
No. Really?
Yeah, no,
that's because
you
played that flip again.
It's not.
I didn't do nothing. LT like broke the record like that year and stuff. Like Russ had the triple double record, but was a 60.
Yeah, Russ broke the record like three more times.
Well, we're talking about one MVP year though.
Russ is probably LT, but you see how we talk about LT. Russ ain't Sean Alexander.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea.
True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Russ ain't LT.
Whoa, don't do that.
There's a little First of all, his nickname isn't LT. Like, I think there's only one LT. Well,
that is his nickname. That's
there's
what
two.
There's two. Yeah, there's two. Okay. Yo, that was. Yo,
stop.
I
yeah,
like,
stop.
Yeah, I
get your boy. Get your boy.
No, LaDainian Tomlinson is fine. He's not on a. He's not comparable to Russell Westbrook. No. That's absurd.
LT is like Westbrook is this guy. Westbrook.
LT's arguably what? LT is arguably
he's
what?
He's a top five running back to ever play.
Yeah, at his position. Arguably.
He's a top five running back ever. He
Russ
might be,
is like
he
top,
might be top three.
Russ is like top eight. Top.
LaDainian Tomlinson is a top three running back.
He might
back
be
ever.
Top three.
Top five. We can win with top five.
LaDainian Tomlinson, off the top of my head right now, we could talk about when he better than AP. If you ask me to have one or the two, okay, I'd take him over Adrian Peterson.
Okay, relax.
No, if you had to take one of them, I'm taking
Emmett. Like, Emmett still.
Oh, he's way better than Emmett. LaDainian Tomlinson way better than Emmett.
All right, man.
What are we talking about?
They're better than Westbrook. We're back.
Just go to commercial. Variant realization occurred during the commercial break.
We just realized who the greatest was.
Yeah, it's just going to cause
Where's
us to
Mitch when you
move
need
on
him?
From our.
Let's call in, bro.
It's just going to cause us to move on from that conversation.
Hey, man, I want this guy's name. I'll give him his initials. OJS.
Might be.
2,000 yards in 14 games is insane.
Crazy.
He was that. He was that, sir. I tried. I got our buddy at WCW alerted me to that. I couldn't believe when he texted us. He was like, have you seen the OJ doc on Netflix? I was like, you're not talking about Made in America? Mm-hmm. Like, no, there's a new doc out. It focuses, it's not an OJ doc, it focuses more on the trial. Mm. I started to watch it, and then, and he was right. Like, it's good. But I also realized, man, this is exciting. Because kind of Made in America was the, that was as definitive of a documentary. Like, people love airtime. What was it called?
Come Fly With Me?
No, the Jordan one, the COVID one.
Oh, Last Dance.
That one.
Yeah.
People love to talk about that like it was this incredible piece of art. It was fine. There was very little in it except Jordan crying. But
Then you got the security guard, too.
And the security guard, right. You got great memes out of it. Jason Jones lives off of the memes from The Final Dance. But in terms of, like, a documentary where you're walking away like, whoa, that was the OJ doc. You probably could have eliminated an episode or two, some of that stuff at the end. But
Made in America?
Yeah.
I think they all hit. And I'm usually like that. I'm like, even with The Last Dance, like, I could have been 8 episodes instead of 10.
You thought all episodes hit?
Yeah, all 5 hit.
I thought it got when OJ, and I guess it just fit the story.
Oh,
when
they
OJ
did talk
got
about,
weird at the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, I forgot they did talk about that. But that's part of the story.
When that detective did that, the thing, mm-hmm. like how it happened,
I was like, this is over. Yeah.
Because that was, I always wondered, like, how, as violently as it was, how did this happen? And he just so casually, here's what we think happened. And it walked through with the computer. I was like,
that was
one of the first times I ever stopped. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was a lot.
That's it. Like, yeah. This is over. The conversation, the document, just end everything. Scene.
That was
incredible.
We still had 2 more episodes after that.
Right.
I remember going into that, I was, because OJ is like one of them, the moments for, you know, people our age. Mm-hmm. So I was always intrigued by it. But at that point, I was like, all right, I kind of seen enough. Like, they're doing a 30 for 35 parts. Like, I don't need to watch this. And I said, let me just watch it. Mm-hmm. And after, like, the first, I was like, oh, this is different.
Yeah.
This is different.
And that's stuff you learn from, like, a documentary. Like, I want to learn something. Mm-hmm. I didn't know OJ's dad was gay and how that played into all. I didn't know none of that.
Yeah.
You think the intrigue of that story will ever go away?
No. It has everything.
Like, it feels like it's still, like, not fresh, but, like, it's still, like
no,
people
it's
still look.
It depends, though, right? Like, I think it's generational.
I don't think so. Oh, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I don't think Reese can comprehend who OJ was in that moment.
But I don't think OJ matter. I don't think OJ will matter as much.
Mm-hmm.
It has the components of wealth and race. And I think when you have those, they're timeless.
Mm-hmm.
When Reese gets older and starts to fully grasp racism,
mm-hmm.
and the system of racism, it does, like, he can learn who O.J. Simpson was and attempt to, you know, equate him to, you know, a star of today or a star of what, you know, the future, whatever, the mm-hmm. time that this becomes for Reese. But wealth discrepancy and race in America will always hit.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why that OJ thing might live. I told you, like, we talked about this when OJ died. I was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know, like, what to say about OJ at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, well, there's always going to be something to say about him because the core of that story, that tragic story, will live forever. Like, you could take that exact story and rewind it 50 years or fast forward it 50
That's
years
true.
And it'd be exactly the same.
I think me and WCW, as a matter of fact, I'm like 99% sure we were together.
Word.
When the verdict came out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We were at school.
I was definitely in high school when it happened. I know exactly where I was.
Yeah, we were at school. Mr. Camberg, RIP, we had a field trip to what was the name? It doesn't matter. But this black bookstore in Lamb Park.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, I don't want to say late to that, but Mr. Camberg brought the TV in and turned it on. And we didn't leave until we heard the verdict. And sure enough, we heard the verdict, got in the cars, people felt how they felt.
Man.
And we went on to the field trip.
High-fiving in the hallways,
man.
Hugging.
I got in the car and it was different than maybe when somebody else got in another car.
Put on James Brown.
Man. But yeah, WCW, I'm almost, 99% sure
if
we're in the same place.
Yeah. If we took that entire situation and, you know, OJ was, and maybe that's the part you're talking about, it'd be difficult for someone to comprehend the star that OJ was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, all of this is better than talking about the game last night.
Yes. Can't believe they lost again.
like comprehending the star that OJ was, if you created a similar scenario, do you think it would play out the exact same way in terms of public opinion?
Well, was Aaron Aaron Hernandez is not a similar scenario.
Not even close.
Okay, yeah.
Not even close. Because Aaron Hernandez murdered another black dude. So it didn't matter.
So you mean like the way the public went about
it? Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if it would
About like what you were just talking, the reactions that we all had. The reactions that you see on all of those videos and all of those, you know, the black churches, the, you know, the white people outside, the tears, the jubilation, the celebration, the anger. Mm-hmm. Do you think it would happen the same way?
I don't think it happened the same way. I don't think it'd be far off. I also think that some of it was some of the people really didn't think he did it. They really didn't believe he did it. Even though, like, if you paid attention, I don't know how you could feel that way. But some people were like, nah, he didn't do this. How did he do it? Like, how was he able to do this by himself or something like that? Like, they didn't really believe he did it. So there was some of the jubilation. I don't think with everything that goes on today, you would be able to be that blind to how things played out. So I don't think it would be 100% the same way, but I think there'd be a percentage of it that would be the same way.
I think the rooting interest would be the same. They'd be close. What was surviving R. Kelly on? Like Bravo?
Yeah.
I don't feel like true perception changed until that.
Mm-hmm.
Very well known. Universally known. Mm-hmm. Everything changed after that. And I don't know if I think the point I'm trying to make is like you might know, you just might not react a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But and then all of a sudden you put faces to it. You hear voices, mm-hmm. and then it hits different. And people felt differently after that documentary came out.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot in the. I haven't finished it because, like I said, it just got exhausting. I still learned stuff. There was stuff I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
There was evidence that wasn't collected. Like they have crime scene photos of like OJ's. I don't know if it's a closet, like a cabinet, medicine cabinet or whatever, where they go in. You know, the day after, and they find all of these medical supplies ripped open, like bandages, all of that stuff ripped open, and there's blood like all over them.
Mm.
There's like blood everywhere. There's a story, and I'd heard this story for years, that he went to the airport with a duffel bag. And he walked over to the trash. There was a witness to this who walked over to the trash, saw him pull something out of the bag and throw it away.
Mm.
He didn't let anyone else touch the bag. They had his luggage. They were like, it's Louis Vuitton luggage. They took it to the Skycap, but he had his carry-on bag. He walked over to the trash, pulled something out, and threw it in the dumpster.
Mm.
Guy was never called to a witness. And I know there's reasons for that stuff. Like, they, you know, maybe they don't find him credible. It could damage the trial. All of this, of course, we know how that trial wound up getting,
right,
you know, damaged anyways. And that guy's all over these documentaries.
Hmm.
He damn near the baby face in all of these documentaries. Hmm. Like, boy, you guys are really painting him out to be something. But, yeah, wild. It's interesting. I do want to finish the documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, it's exhausting.
I know. For us, and like you said, you're probably right. Like, you can tell that story. The story works in any era, but I know for us, that's just that'll never go away for our generation. Never, ever.
All right, let's get back on track here and talk about things that were also exhausting to watch last night. The Sacramento Kings losing to the Portland Trailblazers. We haven't really touched on this game yet, but we want to get to the Elk Grove Kia talk line first. 916-909-1320. We'll start with our brother TC. TC, what's happening, baby?
What's up, my two brothers?
What's up, TC?
Oh man, just vibing. You know, that game last night, man. I'm glad to see Zach catch his feet. I like what I've seen from Val, snatching rebounds, pushing people around. That's what we wanted him for. That's he on our team now. D-Lo, you know, you and Kenny. I'm glad that, you know, that y'all was able to holler at number five. We're going to put a bow in it, like you said, and we're going to move forward. He going his way, and we're going to go our way, right? and we're just going to leave it at that. Everybody going to have their own feelings on how they're going to feel about it, but I respect that for you calling that man and y'all doing whatever y'all said. I respect that, D-Lo and Kenny. For real. That's coming from me.
Well, I appreciate you, TC, but I'll give love to De'Aaron because De'Aaron was the one who initiated the call. So part of me wanted to believe De'Aaron was listening to the show, and he was like, man, you don't think I'm a leader? Like, he doesn't care what I think about him as a basketball player. His interests were elsewhere. And like I said, we'll put a bow on that in just a second. We want to talk to Justin first, though. 916-909-1320. What's up, Justin?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good, man. How you doing, bro?
Good. First off, I want to give props to Sactown Media, to both you guys for the local trades lately. I feel like I've been following you guys more than Shams with everything going down. Turn on your notifications and all that. So first off, I want to give you guys props for that. Second topic, I just want to say I don't know what we do with the front office at this point. Obviously, you know, they got to go, but I think it stems from the very top. Vivek, obviously, he has his hands in a lot of this. He's been the owner since 2013. That was probably the time we were most trusted as an organization. I feel like everything since then has been spiraling downhill with all the Fox comments. I mean, I don't blame the guy, to be honest, with everything that we've put him through. I just feel like it's time for ownership. I mean, you can't really force them out. The only thing I can say is, I mean, as Kings fans, the only say we have, I mean, we got the light the beam chant. You could rhyme with it and say, sell the team. Yeah. Do a little chant, sell the team chant. That's the only thing I can think of. What do you guys think we need to do with the front office? How do we move forward and gain that trust from players and agents once again?
Man, that is a hell of a question, Justin. I'm not a fan of the front office. I don't know. My opinion hasn't really changed on the front office. I think they did a good job of landing Valanciunas and Jake the Snake. That's all I got.
So it goes back to something that you said earlier when Kyle was here.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great point.
And thank you.
Leads
I know
to,
what it was, but I know it was good.
It leads to another question. And you said it feels like this team is always looking to fire somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I look at it is that has to stop at some point.
Mm-hmm.
At some point. And I know what people are going to say. I know what you might say. Like, mm-hmm. that can stop on the next hire. These mm-hmm. guys need to go.
Mm-hmm.
But that's got to stop.
I hear you.
Like,
you're right.
At some point, and I guess I'm making an argument for these guys to stay. Like, you've got to let them work through this.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a coach. If they signed Doug Christie, they let this coach and this GM work through it. Don't look to fire. Don't have... don't have these guys, not saying you're doing it, but mm-hmm. don't have them on the perennial hot seat all the time. Like, you've got time to work through this. That doesn't mean just be nonchalant and don't do anything, but don't worry about having to trade draft picks because you might get fired or something, whatever. Like, let's build this thing.
I don't think they're capable of building. So I hear you. You are 100% correct. At some point, it has to stop. I think... this front office is rotten. I think this organization might be rotten. Like, I understand De'Aaron was feeling a certain way, but I don't know that his tweet was necessarily wrong about the organization. Like, I'm willing to defend Vivek on a lot of stuff. A lot. He is not an incompetent idiot. As frustrated, you said this the other day, as frustrated as I might be with the front office, he's got you idiots. But that doesn't mean you know how to run a team properly. That doesn't mean there isn't constant infighting. Let's go back to this. You are, again, I'm going to state this again. You are 100% right. At some point, this firing and starting over and trying to figure things out, it's got to stop. But this is a group, whether it's the front office or it's the ownership group, that made the decision to bring a coach back that they didn't want. You posed the question, did they even want him to begin with? Was Mike some sort of compromise to Mark Jackson? Were they not able to get the coach that they wanted? How did they wind up on Mike, and why 2 years later did we get to the point where this isn't going to work? I don't, unless they come out publicly and state otherwise. Monty McNair said it was my decision to fire Mike Brown. Okay. We know from De'Aaron. We know the domino effect that caused. That's another thing that we talked about. Monty was very definitive. We weren't going to keep him. Yeah, you weren't. Because he told you. You don't bring Mike back. Move me. Mm-hmm. That's not a trade request. It's basically an ultimatum. You could agree. Now, you could feel however you want to about that. But it is what it is. We were all begging for Mike to get the contract extension. Us on the outside. Mm-hmm. It sounds like on the inside, not everybody most closely associated with the team felt the same way. And I don't know that I trust this front office to rebuild. Not because of the misses that they've had, or what we perceive to be misses. But because I don't know that this structure of this front office is conducive to winning.
That's fair. Our guy, Mark Wong, says something that kind of sticks out to me based on some of the conversations that we've had. And I don't know for sure, but he says in the chatty house, Vivek runs this team like a tech company. Always change, always collaborate, always do patchwork. You said something the other day about Vivek that it just resonated.
Mm-hmm.
About how there are people in the league that say, no, Vivek actually doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like this whole perception.
To be clear, that was one organization that said that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The perception that he's always meddling and messing mm-hmm. with things and stuff like that. Like, actually, it's the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
He's on vacation. He's on vacation from time to time.
He's working on a stutter and go right now.
That's it, man. He's
a man living his dreams.
Yeah, that's it. And the perception is that he's always messing with things, when in actuality, it might not be the case. And if that's not the case, maybe he needs to be more involved.
Hmm.
Maybe that's the answer. Because just like on the outside looking in, it doesn't seem like he's always doing stuff. And we had heard something, you had heard something that even went even deeper. Like, he actually don't do much of anything. He definitely just leaves it alone. Maybe he should be more involved.
I don't think it's that.
So that's, before you jump in, that's one thing that we've heard, right? Another thing is he starts group chats with coaches. And like, I don't know. I don't know about that. Like, and again, that's, again, this is here. This is just stuff we hear. Whether mm-hmm. it's reality, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But these are things that we hear. And so I also know that a lot of stuff about Vivek I know isn't true.
Right.
Like, I know that there are people who have been in that organization. I don't know if they're still there. But they actively work with other media members to make him look as stupid as possible. So it's difficult to really believe what is true with Vivek Ranadive and what isn't. What is true is it's his company.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter hands-on or hands off he is, it's yours. Mm-hmm. And if the bottom line is to make money, good for you. Because yeah. You're a billionaire 3 or 4 times over because of the purchase of this organization. Yeah. But I just can't help but wonder, you know, what's rotten with this group. Sorry, Jesse, go ahead.
No, his biggest issue, I think, is that he hasn't hired the right person yet. Like, I don't think he needs to make decisions or step in. You just haven't hired the right people. And frankly, hiring Monty McNair to be your GM and then hiring the other guy that you interviewed because you really like him is insane. Make sense.
I love the Monty hire and I love the Mike hire. I'm not going to change my tone about that. I only love the Monty hire because of what Jill told me about him. I didn't know nothing about the man. I was like, all right, cool, I'm down. I was very concerned when I found out the guy who was in the running for the job got the assistant general manager. I don't know anything. I didn't know anything about Wes Wilcox at the time. Well, I knew one thing. I didn't know anything else about Wes Wilcox at the time. But it was like, I've never seen this before. Like,
it doesn't make sense.
Did Monty approve this? Was this part of Monty's pitch? Was this part of Monty's plan? Because if it wasn't, we're starting this poorly. Mm-hmm. This is starting bad. Mm-hmm. And it's like Kenny. Kenny was hired for this show. He's plotting to take over.
Eventually, it's going to happen.
It is. He's got his little Saturday show on 102.5. It's only a matter of time. Sunday. It's only a matter of time.
And you're in multiple markets.
Well, that's because I'm an idiot. That's why. There's no other reason other than I'm an idiot.
The one thing that I think is I don't know. I'll be perfectly clear saying I don't necessarily know like what Vivek does or doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because like you said, we've heard both sides. But what I am convinced of is whatever he's doing, he needs to start doing something different. Whatever it is, if it's he's doing too much, he needs to start falling back. If he's falling back too much, maybe he needs to be a bit more a part of what's going on and aware of what's going on. Yeah. But whatever he's doing, he needs to change. Because it's just
enough is enough, and it's time for
a change. It's time for a change. Mm-hmm. Get out of my way! I'm in my zone.
No, that's Ken Shamrock.
Oh yeah, yeah. Owen Hart. Sorry
yeah, come that. On, R.I.P. man. See, this is all part of his plan. He undermines my wrestling jokes.
Jerry West is like the top of the top, but like Vivek needs to find something like that, like someone to be like that role where it's just like this is kind of like where it stops and starts.
So this is related-ish, but not really related.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see that story about what happened with Jimmy Butler and Mickey Harrison?
Saw Pat Riley.
And Pat Riley. Well, did you hear what? So I just saw a quote. I forgot where I saw it from. I'm sorry. But it was like in a story. And Butler, allegedly, and Eddie Gonzalez is coming up soon, so he may know more on this. Allegedly, Butler's suspension was over. And whoever, I don't know who it was, but somebody under Pat Riley was like, all right, his suspension is over. He's ready to come play.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat Riley told him, yeah, he can't play. And this isn't even my call. Mickey doesn't want him to play until he talks to him personally. And he's like, well, the suspension is over. Like, what are we doing about that? He's like, yeah, this is what Mickey said. Mickey Harrison is who I'm talking about, the owner of the Heat. That's what Mickey said. He doesn't want to talk to him until he speaks to him. And then they go, all right, wait a minute. Isn't Mickey Harrison on vacation? They're like, yeah, he doesn't get back till January 16th. And he can't play until he talks to Mickey. And he's like, yeah, that's what he said. And then apparently, I think Mickey was like, well, if he wants to fly out where I'm at, then he can come talk to me there. But if he don't want to do that, they don't have to wait till I get back from vacation. I bring all that up to say, like, some of this stuff, all these owners are kind of, they do some different things, man. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. They do some different things. And Mickey Harrison has done good enough things. He's hired a Pat Riley or been able to handle stuff where he wins some championships. But, hell, nobody talking about, oh boy, no more, huh? Because the team's winning. What's my man? Not my man, but.
What team?
Huh?
What team?
The Knicks.
Oh, Dolan.
Dolan.
That is your man.
That ain't my man. But no, nobody talk about him no more because they winning. He's mm-hmm. still James Dolan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is James Dolan.
He still
Dolan.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're winning, so. I guess, changes but everything. Vivek was who he was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. He didn't change. They won, so we didn't really talk about it. Or it was, no. He finally got out the way.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, if Kyle Shanahan would just do that with Brock Purdy,
yeah, just get out the way. Let him be good, cook.
Just like TC said. You mentioned it, Eddie Gonzalez coming up in 30 minutes. That's I can't wait. That is going to be a fun conversation with Eddie. How did Jimmy Butler become a Golden State Warrior? Why is Kevin Durant still a Phoenix Sun? How loud was that noise? And what does the offseason look like? That's all ahead. We will talk about the game last night. And we'll Valanciunas, Laravia, they're going to be introduced to Sacramento Kings. We'll bring that press conference to you live as well.
And I got one. Somebody asked the question, and the only reason I'm bringing it up is because you said you would answer it today. And I think it's a good question to ask.
Okay. I don't know what it is, but we'll find out when Dillo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Leezy, you in there learning today? Is that what you're doing?
Leezy in the house.
Leezy.
What up, big dog? What up, baby? What up? What up?
Leezy.
What up? What up?
I told Leezy to come hang out with us at Sky River, the Humidor, 32 Brew Street.
Yeah, man.
I forgot Leezy was an Eagles fan. He was a little worried about it. Yeah, let him live, man. It's his day. It's his day. Remember, you can come hang out with us at 32 Brew Street. You got to have a reservation, though. So if there's any left, go grab one. If you don't want to hang out at 32 Brew Street, you just want to hang out with D'Lo and KC for a little bit, have a cigar, have some whiskey, come join us. We'll be at the Humidor from 2 to 3 right before the game, and then we'll make our way over to 32 Brew Street. I know Nicole is coming. I know Tasha's coming. Those are the only confirmations I got sent to the text. So hopefully some of you can pull up, man. We're going to have a nice old time. The Humidor, 2 o'clock on Sunday for the big game.
Yes, indeed.
And for the big performance.
And for the big performance as well. Don't forget, I'm going to have Beam Money on Saturday. Beam Money is going down on Saturday. That will include, on Price Picks, that will include that free square they're giving us. Patrick Mahomes only has to throw for 1 yard and you win that. So he's going to be, I'm telling you right now, he will be incorporated in that Beam Money. And if you're smart, you'll do the same thing because Price Picks is giving you one. They're giving you one right there, man. So I got to have that. We're going to have that out on Saturday. And if you're just signing up with Price Picks, go ahead and put that promo code in.
There you go.
KIFM. It gets you $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Just put the promo code KIFM in, and you get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. Boom. Just like that. All right. You must be present in certain states. Prize Picks. Run your game. Go to prizepicks.com for more details.
Aggressive read.
Well, that's what you got to let them know. Prize Picks. Pause. Run your game.
All right. I like it.
Not pause like we say, just dramatic
like
pause.
No, like normal people say.
You ever talk around normal people and like, oh no, I have to be like normal around you, like I can't act how I do on the show.
Yeah
it's new Aaron.
Yeah
it's like I gotta catch myself now.
Well, and old Aaron just ignores us. Literally, he had one of the most plausible moments in history. He was like, yo, what? You want
that
to
was crazy.
Like, you make a face like, oh, I hope you didn't see the face I just made because he's going to ask.
Oh, I literally told him, sir, we don't talk like that around here. He just ignored me and kept talking. And in Aaron's defense, Aaron Roberts, he ignores me anyways.
Real quick programming note, just hearing from Eddie. He's running a little late. He will be here.
Okay.
He's running a little late, so.
Okay. No problem. You said you had a question for me?
Yeah, so somebody asked in the chat. I should have started, but I didn't. I apologize to who asked the question. But you somebody asked you this question yesterday before we signed off.
Okay.
And I want to know what you think.
Okay.
They said, do you feel differently about De'Aaron and the whole situation that went down after talking to him? Has it changed your perception, or has it changed anything about how you felt?
Man, that's a loaded question. A little bit. A little bit. Yeah. I do think he wanted to be here. I don't think he was plotting his exit. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. So yes, yes, it did. Like, I don't think he was plotting his exit. And we had heard enough to, you know, we're piecing things together. We talk about breadcrumbs a lot this week. It sounded like he was. But like listening to him, hear him talk and the passion in which he spoke. And again, I think he was really emotional. I do think he was genuinely upset. I don't even think he was upset about my tweet. I think he was upset, like, that was like the cherry on top. That was
like
the perception.
The there was a lot of things that had gone on, or a few, and that was
right,
the one.
Right. And like, I, you know, Abe, 98 Rock, just, I saw that. Like, you guys talked? I was like, yeah. We're. And that's the other thing I didn't like. Yeah, I saw you. It's great you guys mended fences. No, we weren't mending fences. We were just having a conversation. I told you, I don't have any problem with you whatsoever. Mm-hmm. He asked why I felt the way I felt, and I told him. And he was like, here's... In a nutshell, why do you feel the way you do? I told him. And he said, here's why I don't think that's fair and why you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And he told me. And so I was like, okay, I respect that. I apologized for the tweet to him privately. And I said publicly, that's a tough look. That's a strong accusation. And that's a strong sentiment without the context of what you and I were talking about on this show. Mm. And that's why I don't tweet a ton, because I've got 4 hours to explain what I'm talking about. 280 characters isn't going to do anything but create a problem, or however many characters it is. But I'll say it changed the way I felt about certain things. Yes, it did.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was as cut and dry as the way he explained it, because there's three sides to a story is the line, right? Like, you know, not that he ever would, but Wes Wilcox will call me and he'll tell me something that's maybe similar but different. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere between what De'Aaron said and what, you know, I'll just say King's person said, there's the truth in the middle. Mm-hmm. And we really only talked about two specific things. I absolutely believe him about the Castle video. Having seen the exchange and listened to the video with a different frame of mind, mm-hmm. I believe him 100%. That video caused a lot of people to react a certain way and feel a certain way. And I think him seeing the backlash of that is really what set him off is an unfair way of describing it. Mm-hmm. But I know if someone said on a public forum with a voice, and that's another thing I appreciated, is he showed a lot of love to this show. And if someone said something about us or me that was just patently false, yeah, I would be upset. Mm-hmm. I'd be angry. We're dealing with something like that on a different station here. Like, yeah, like it's angering. So I don't fault him for that. I don't fault him for reacting the way that he did. I still feel the exact same way about him as a player. I still have reservations about him. I think he's going to be incredible in San Antonio for the reasons that we've laid out over the last 3 days. None of that's changed, but none of that was a topic of conversation. Mm-hmm. But I'm not as sold on the idea he's been long playing his exit out of Sacramento.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I took away from it. You know, hearing the conversation that you guys had, me and Fox had a you know, quick back and forth. Like, not mm-hmm. when I say back and forth, it wasn't contentious, but we talked, we exchanged some messages, and I told us the same thing. I said, I don't have no problem with you, and I don't have any problem with what you decided to do for your career. The one thing that I don't subscribe to is I think it's been in the works a little longer than is what's being put out there. But you had to do what you had to do to get where you want to go. And I'll say, now with more information, much like you just said, maybe it wasn't in the works as long as I previously thought. I don't think this just happened a week ago. And I think his mind started to wander maybe a little bit before the Mike Brown stuff officially went down. But I take him at his word when he said that was the moment when I didn't think I was going to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe him. I believe him. So that does change how I felt about how everything played out. But like I told him, tell you, for me, there's nothing to change about how I feel about you, because felt fine about you.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, same thing. We weren't mending fences. We were fine. I mean, he had an issue with what I said, and we talked about it.
Yeah.
I know that's not something that's done very often anymore, but he told me why he thought my opinion was wrong.
Yeah. And absolutely. I said the same thing publicly that I told him privately, man. Like, every time that I interacted with De'Aaron, it wasn't a whole lot, but he was always solid with me. It was always love. It wasn't very long, you know, it wasn't for a long time. It was, hey man, how you doing? Everything good with you? Or mm-hmm. you made the All-Star team, man, congratulations. Just real cool. And that's one of the things I always took away from him. Good guy.
Didn't you give him a pep talk one time?
It wasn't a pep talk.
I think you did. And he gave him a pep talk one time.
It wasn't a pep talk at all, man. But he
right before the playoffs when he went crazy.
But I was just like, man, look, I and one of the things that I think that we've done, at least on this show, is we tried to convey the understanding of also why he would want to be somewhere else. I completely understand it. I don't know. I didn't want him to go.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted him to stay here. But I understand wanting to move on, do something different. Even before, like, we talk about drama with the front office and stuff like that. Hey, man, like we continue to say, you got an opportunity to choose what you want to do and where you want to be for the rest of your career. That doesn't happen a lot in his profession.
And is this true? Soren says, man, I tell everyone all the time, you remind me of me, Fox. Is that what you told him when he went crazy in the playoffs? There's rumors. I mean, it's, maybe Soren was there. Maybe Soren was there.
That's not anything I've ever said to De'Aaron Fox. No,
okay, just on this show.
That's not true. Not true. But, yeah, man, I got no ill will towards De'Aaron Fox, man. And, sincerely wish him the best in San Antonio. I think he's going to do a great job.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.